If you can hear me, that's good. Say yes. 1 Corinthians 18 says, it's not yes or no. God always says yes. I like that. We don't like the word no, do we? Especially us men. I mean, the women are great, but I have a kingdom formula for my life. I want to share it with you because it might help you. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. And you can't go wrong. Oh, yeah, but what? No. Love what God loves. Does God love people? Yeah. Does he love all people? It's not willing that anybody in this world should perish. That's God's heart. So love what God loves and hate what God hates. I think that's a good formula. Nobody said yes, but Jesus gave his life to me. Because we all say, I gave my life to Christ. That's very proud. He gave his life to me 45 years ago. I like to say that. He gave his life to me. Now, I might talk about church this morning. When I talk about church, I'm not talking about this church. Because the way we've been welcomed into this place and how we've been treated has been probably better than we've ever been treated before. So something's gone wrong. We feel that God wants Lynn and I to be part of this family. That's what we feel. Feel strongly about that, otherwise we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. So when I talk about church, I'm talking about the church worldwide. Is that okay? I don't want you to jump on my case and say, oh, he's running us down. We love this place. And it's got the right name. Emmanuel. I've got a big thing about Emmanuel. I had a house once, and I had the name over the door called Emmanuel. And this lady in the church had a son. He was weird. He came round my house, got Emmanuel over the door, and he's got this big knife. He says, I like you, but the other one in me that wants to kill you. He's got this big knife. So I just started speaking in tongues, and he ran off. Another time, I was in Texas, and I was at the church waiting to go up to preach, and I'm sitting with my pastor friend on the front, and the Lord really spoke to me and said, that lady up there who's singing, she's going to have a baby. I said, oh, okay, Lord. So I talked to my pastor friend. No, she's in her 40s, and she's got 4 children already. I said, oh, okay, I got it wrong. Next day he phones me, he says, that lady's pregnant. Cut a long story short, she had a little boy. What do you think they named him? Emmanuel. It was in South Texas. And they were sort of Hispanic people. They called it Emmanuel. Every year I got a card showing me a picture of Emmanuel. It's nothing to do with me, but that's how they work out there. They love prophecy and they love God. God is talking. And if God is talking, I like it. But I've got this thing every year. He's about 30 odd now, this guy. And what is he, Lynn? He's in like SWAT down in South Texas. He's got a really good job. So that was amazing. So Emmanuel was very special to me. So when we were looking for a church, we felt God wanted us to come to Clandidna. But when we were looking for a church, we thought, well, where do we go? Because we don't know anybody there. We've got no friends. We've got no church. What do we do? And Lynn went online, and she found this church. And I thought, well, I like the name. Not saying anybody's going to be pregnant or anything like that. But nevertheless, the name is something special. God with us. And guess who's with us? I guess he's with us here right now. I couldn't stand up here like I do if God wasn't with me. You know, I used to be a bit of a bad lad. And many, many years ago. And God allows me to remember this one bad thing I did. I'll share it with you and you can talk to me afterwards. I was in my car in Luton and this guy cut me up in the car. And I chased him all over Luton. And I cut in front of him, I opened his door, pulled him out and I headbutted him like that, and his Salvation Army cap fell off. I mean, that was, I'm thinking, Lord, and you still gave me freedom. You still chose me. God says, I'm letting you remember that one. So standing here is not easy when you've been where you've been. But, you know, my mentor, if you like, who's a prophet, he was a gang leader, drug dealer, tattoos all over his body, but what a great man of God. And God really speaks to him. See, God's no respecter of persons. He don't look at anybody and say, you're better than you, and you're better. God looks at us all and says, I love you. And that's what we've got to tell the people out there. So today I want to talk about nets. In Matthew 13:47, it says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. Now, Matthew was a Levite, so if he had to write the name God, he had to ceremonially wash, take all his clothes off and put all clean clothes on. We got it easy. And we don't have to do that. But Matthew couldn't do that. So in the book of Matthew, you'll see it's kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. In the others, it says kingdom of God. But it is synonymous. It's the same. But it says the kingdom of heaven's like a net. And I'm thinking the church should be like a net. But churches throughout the world have become lobster pots, fishermen. They put a lobster pot out, put a bit of bait in it and hope somebody comes in. We open that door and hope somebody comes in on a Sunday. I'm grateful that these lovely people have come in. I just moved to Clandidno. Lovely people just come in today. We really welcome you in Jesus' name. But you see, if we're a lobster pot and we just hope somebody's going to come in the door, we're not doing our job. What did Jesus say to us? Go and make disciples. How do you make a disciple? Because a disciple is one who is willing to learn. Oh, yeah, but I know it all. Yes, I know it all, sorry. No, you don't know it all. He knows it all. He sees it all. He knows exactly what we're thinking. He knows exactly what we're saying, exactly what we're doing. And I want to tell you something. God is going to do something mighty in this place. I really feel that. A few weeks ago, God woke me up in the middle of the night and said these words to me. He said, this church, it's their time. Now, I can share this with you because I've already shared it with Pastor Steve. So I'm not talking out of school. He said, this church is time. He said this to me as well. He said, and that sounds silly. He said, but you went to the dentist last week, didn't you? I said, yeah. He said, well, what time was your appointment? I said, 11 o'clock. And he said, so that was your time? Yeah. But what happened? Well, when it got to my time, I had to get in the chair and get my treatment. So guess what? It's this church's time, but it's also their turn. This is your turn. This is not playing games or anything else. God is going to do something fantastic in this place. Well, he already has. He sent a hero to die for villains. That's the greatest miracle we could ever have. Jesus died for us. I mean, look around the room. Jesus died for us. But he did. He was a hero and he died for villains. So I really believe that God is going to do something fantastic in this place. It's your time. See, any preaching can come and say, oh, it's your time. Oh, it's great. No, not doing that. It's your time, but it's your turn. You're going to get a turn. Now, there's been a great ministry in the church already with the food. To me, that was brilliant ministry. But the door's closed. And God says, okay, watch what I'm going to do now. Because I've got some people here who don't just call me Father. They really believe I'm Father. They really believe that I love them. And when I talk to anybody in the world about God, I always say, somebody loves you. We went and looked at a property, Lynn and I, and we went and saw this estate agent. She came out, this young girl. She said, we haven't got any appointments. I've got no time. So I said, oh, come on. You know. Anyway, she saw us at 1 o'clock. And we turned up and I started talking to her about the Lord. And she's sobbing on Lynn's shoulder. She's crying, sobbing. I've had a bad divorce. And we were just able to sort of talk to her and witness to her and tell her that God loves her. This is what we've got to do. You ain't got to beat them over the head with the Bible. See, I know a lot of scripture, but you don't have to know a lot of scripture. You have to know a lot of God. Stop thinking and start feeling. See, King Saul thought, and he lost the kingdom. Because he thought, well, the prophet's not here, I'm going to take the meeting. He thought, stop thinking, start feeling. Start feeling. God wants to talk to us. He wants to give us more of him. I preached in a church a few months ago, and God gave me this word. And he said, ask my people, how much do they want of me? Do they want more? And I said that, there's about 60-odd people there, and they all went like this. Do you want more? Because God's looking for greedy people. Greedy for him. See, he's looking for gossips. No, not that sort. People who gossip the gospel. That's what I believe. You must gossip the gospel. Not gossip about everybody else. But I'm going to talk about nets. Now, there were two nets. There's a net in the pre-resurrection, and it broke, and all the fish got out. There's another net in post-resurrection, where Jesus is waiting on the beach to give them breakfast. They go fishing. We've been fishing all night. We haven't caught a thing. Jesus said, put the net on the other side of the boat. Look, we're fishermen, Jesus. We know our job. Put the net on the other side. And guess what? They caught 153 large fish. Now, why would they say 153? Because I worked this out and I thought, this is pretty weird. But 153 to me was, one stands for the supremacy of God. Five is always the number for grace. And three is for unity and perfection. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I thought, why do they give us numbers? Numbers are really important in the Bible. The number eight is over this place at the moment. Number eight. It's called New Beginning. God says, I want to do something great in this place because I've got some great people in here. Well, you don't look very great. But it's not me looking, it's him looking. But there are some, the way people treated us in this place has been wonderful. And God wants to do it. I'm telling you, it's going to happen, whether you like it or not. Now, everybody's praying for revival in the world. Revival, revival, revival. I hate the word. I've been in three revivals. Nearly killed us. Because it took all of our time. And we used to go till midnight, seven nights a week. And praying for people all the time. Lynn and I were one prayer team, and we'd pray for 500 people a night. Then we'd go out of there and into the restaurant, 12 o'clock at night, and we'd be on the floor in the restaurant, we'd be on the floor in the parking lot. It was a crazy, crazy time. Because we met John Arnott in America. I don't know if you've heard of John Arnott and Carol Arnott. They are the Toronto Blessing people. We met them, they prayed for us, and they said, we want to cross-pollinate with you. We went, wow. And Carol Arnott, what a prayer. She's awesome, isn't she? They said, we're passing on to you what we've got. We took it back to the church and it explodes. Absolutely, people flying in from all over America to come to our church to get prayed for. It was just unbelievable, but it nearly killed us. So don't pray for revival. See, I don't like the word revival. I like the word resurrection. Jesus was not revived. He was resurrected. Amen? So revival sounds great. And everyone, oh, we want revival. Bring us revival. Tell you what, you won't want revival if you're going 7 days a week, seven nights a week, and it take everything you've got. But that's good if people are getting saved. So the two nets, one net broke, one net didn't break. Post-resurrection. See, I think the fishing pole days are over. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He meant people. Let's get it. I'm not woke, but let's say, I'll make you fishers of people. We've got to go and catch people. Well, but that's not easy. I find it difficult to talk to somebody. Really? And God doesn't talk to me. Really? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So are you Jesus' sheep? Should be listening to his voice. He's longing to talk to us. They think, oh, that's only for prophets. No, it's not. That's rubbish. It's not just for prophets. He wants to talk to everybody. I remember he talked to a donkey once. That's how he got me, but I want to see this church really... I want it to go somewhere where God wants to take it. Nothing to do with me, but I really believe this. When we came in, I thought, there's something going on in this place. Certain people. There's certain people he's got at certain places. And God really wants to do something. But the only problem is that the nets break. And how do the nets break? I'm going to give you 7 net rippers. Things that rip the net. Number one, unresolved offence. Ah, you don't know what they did to me 18 years ago. Well, I can forgive you, but I'll never forget it. Well, you've not forgiven them. Unresolved offences breaks the net. Number two, uncontrolled tongue. Why do dogs have many friends? Because they wag their tails, they don't wag their tongues. Yeah, oh, you like that one. Cam probably like that one. She don't like dogs, huh? Unforgiving spirit. You know, I just can't forgive you, sorry, I just can't forgive. And because you've got to remember, I've been around quite a few churches in 45 years, so I've seen a lot of stuff gone off. And I see something in this place that God is really wanting to move in a mighty way. But the next one, unfulfilled expectations. Well, I can play the violin, and they don't let me play the violin. That was awesome this morning. I've got to say, that's awesome. I love the violin. But unfulfilled expectations. Oh, well, I'd like to be with the pastor all the time. And I'd like to do this. And I'd like... God knows who you are. God knows what you need. God knows what you can do. And guess who raises people up? He does. But in many ways, we've raised people up. I know people who worship preachers. And especially in America, it's like, oh, it's awesome. You just can't believe how it is. We were in Benny Hinn's church one night in Florida. Benny Hinn got up to preach, and he said, there's a pastor here from Russia. He said, and he's come over because he wants to build a big new church building, and he needs money. So Benny Hinn took off his Rolex. He said, well, there's 30 grand. Took off his bracelet, his necklace, his rings. He said, well, there's over $100,000. He said, I've got a bullion dealer sitting there, and he'll give you cash for all this. And people are just giving him jewelry, all the stuff they're giving him. And he got enough to build a massive church in Russia. I'm not saying that's right, but what I'm saying is, people worship people, and I don't worship people. I love my wife with all my heart. I always say this from the pulpit. Sorry? Sorry?
You're about famous people.
Not really famous. Famous probably in the church, yeah. And there's some great people been in the church. I just read a prophecy, and it was about Smith Wigglesworth. He went to this church, and they brought a coffin in. And there was a dead person in it. And Smith opened the coffin, got him out, stood him up, and he starts breathing, starts talking, and went home. Now, I'm not Smith Wigglesworth, but I ran a little boy over in my car and killed him. And I'm just coming home from work. I was running insurance brokers. Got my secretary in the car, taking her home. And this little boy's in the road, and all the people come running, and it's real bad. And all of a sudden, I said, move, let me pray for him. I just come back from America from a conference. I said, in Jesus' name, there'll be no bones broken, there'll be no blood. And I just said, come against this in Jesus' name. By his stripes, you're going to be healed. And all of a sudden, his eyes flickered. And the ambulance came and took him away. I had to wait for the police, like you do. And he came out of hospital that night with not a mark on him. Yeah. Now, I'm not Mr. Superhuman, but I know somebody who is Mr. Superhuman. His name's Jesus. But because I had the guts or the faith or whatever to do it, we've seen people in America, seen people's legs grow like that out of their trouser. We've seen things like that. If you've seen it, you believe it. Our friend Elaine, she's just had pancreatic cancer. And she was in hospital for a 9-hour operation. And we went in, I prayed for her, took the oil in, prayed for her, and she looked like she'd been dead a week. Real bad. And while I was in there, I said, look, Elaine, God's just telling me this. You are going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Not when you get to heaven, but in the land of the living now. And she stood on that word, and Lynn gave her a magazine from America where Dodie Osteen, she's a pastor's wife from Houston, Texas, and she went to the doctors with cancer, and the doctor says, nothing I can do, go home and die. She went home, got the biggest Bible she'd got, put it on the floor, and stood on it. God, I'm standing on your word, she said. By his stripes, I am healed. And she kept praying all these scriptures. Now, please don't be offended. I don't know why everybody doesn't get healed. I don't know that. Nothing to do with faith. It's a question of, I don't know why. But this lady, now still alive 50 odd years later. So Lynn gave her the magazine to Elaine. Elaine's been praying all the scriptures. She was praying. And Elaine was praying three times a day, all these scriptures. She's now completely free of cancer. And because you've had your pancreas out, you're normally diabetic. Well, now she's not even diabetic anymore. I mean, God's done a monster. She's just written a book. She's written this book. We did the foreword on it for her. And completely healed. See, God is healing. God is healing. Right? God's hand's all over you. I'm telling you. Let's carry on because I'm running out of time a bit. Oh, number five, unwise leadership decisions. What do? Well, you get on the phone and gossip. Of course you don't. You pray for your leaders. You earnestly pray for them. We were praying for Steve this morning. Steve's preaching at another church. We prayed for him in the prayer meeting. Of course leaders will make unwise decisions. Because how many decisions have you ever made that have been unwise? Yeah, my hand's gone up. Lynn's hand went up twice. But that's what you do. Unidentified disloyalty. Loyalty is never tested in a time of blessing. It's tested in a time of fire or war. Remember Paul with a snake in Acts 28? Paul goes and makes the fire, and all of a sudden a snake comes out and grabs on his hand. Get off, he said. You can't touch me. See, that's when disloyalty. Who's loyal? Who's loyal? God's looking for loyalty. He's looking for people that are loyal. He's looking for people that are stickers. This is my favourite scripture in the whole Bible. Acts 1:1. Jesus first began to do, then teach. He's looking for doers. What do you think you did with the food? Other people in here do. You do things. Other people do ministries in this place. Look at these couple. I mean, man, I am so privileged to have somebody playing a keyboard, another keyboard over there, and a violin, because I've been listening to stuff on the overhead, on what's it, YouTube stuff, all the time. And we've got real people singing, beautiful singers, playing instruments. I'm blessed, because to me, that's what it should be. Now, don't forget, I've been in the church as well with 2,500 on a Sunday where the worship was like a pop concert. They got a lot of people in, but you can't make relationships like that. Too many people. And God is a God of relationship. You know, the currency of heaven is relationship. And I'm a relationship person. That's the way it should be in the kingdom. And uncontrolled charisma. Uncontrolled charisma. It means that you usurp the Holy Spirit, make people think you're anointed. See, and there's a lot of that goes on. We know a guy, an apostle, said he was an apostle, but I believe he was self-appointed and self-anointed, which you can do. Because I'm somebody. Do you know who I am? I'm a servant of the living God. The biggest title in any church is servant. And I've seen a lot of servanthood going on in this place. God loves that. Do you know why Jesus came, didn't he? And washed those stinking feet. He didn't mind doing that. And I've seen people doing stuff in here, and they don't mind doing it. But that's what, and God sees everything we do, every moment of every day. He sees what we do, and he sees what we say, and he knows what we think. That's dangerous. It's dangerous, that, Patrick. I like the bit about Caleb and Joshua. It says, Caleb and Joshua serve God wholeheartedly. And I'm saying to these people in this other church, who wants more from God? 60 odd hands go up like that. I'm thinking, yeah, but you know, there's a little price to pay. Oh. Yeah. You've got to get up and pray every morning. You don't have to do it in the morning, you can do it at night, you can do it whenever. But we talk to him all the time. Lim thought I was crazy when we first got together. I was speaking in tongues in bed in the middle of the night. She thought I was mad. God just baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And I really believe it, the Holy Spirit, where does he live? Within us. This is called the temple of the Holy Spirit. What are we doing with our temple? Now, I'm not looking at you, Mike. But we have to remember, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when people say, we're calling you down, Holy Spirit. No, we brought him in. We brought him in with us. There was a church I was in, an Anglican church, in, and they said, oh, we call on the Holy Spirit to come. And I'm thinking, we brought him in. He's already in us. And guess what? If he's already in you, guess what time we're going to have? We're going to have a party. We had a party this morning with the violin and the keyboards and the singing. And to me, that was just where we've come from. Is that, am I being true? I mean, this is just awesome for us. See, the Holy Spirit came, didn't he, in Acts chapter 2. Because they weren't doing anything. They were in an upper room, frightened of who was going to kill them. They were doing nothing, the apostles. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came. Boom, like that. These men must be drunk. Look at them. And they're speaking in tongues, and they're speaking in all these languages and stuff. Well, when I got saved in the Pentecostal church, we had a lady in there every Sunday, spoke in tongues, the same tongue every Sunday. And it was this. Koriandai, koriandai, buriandai. Buriandai, koriandai, buriandai. But it was interpreted every week. And one week, this interpretation came through, and they said, that person was speaking fluent Polish. One of the interpretations. So we can't judge. But tongues is a strange thing. And some churches, if you don't speak in tongues, well, you know, you're just not one of us. That's a load of rubbish. Jesus didn't speak in tongues. He didn't need to. He had the gear. And I want to tell you guys, we've got the oil. Jesus had the oil. There's people in this place have got the oil. What do we got to do? See what he wants us to do. See, I think now's the time to step up to a new level. Because I want to forget about the revival thing. I want to think about the resurrection. The church worldwide needs to be resurrected. It needs to do what it says it can do. It needs to be who it says it is. Well, I'm a Christian. I hate that word, Christian. Sorry, not blasphemy. But they were first called Christians in Antioch. And it was a dirty word. You're Christians. Whew. It was a nothing word. But I'm a Christian. Really? Jesus said you'll be known by your fruit. You'll not be known by your words. You'll be known by your fruit. I see a lot of fruit in this place. I really do. I'm trying to go as quick as I can. What tears the net? Now, Kate, you said you did a thing on nets, didn't you? Can you give us a little 5 minutes on it? Would you mind? Do you want the mic?
When I heard that Tony was speaking about the net, I remembered that we had this in the cupboard that we'd used a couple of years ago. I felt God gave me a picture, and we had a time. Some of you remember we prayed, and it says on here, I've still got this piece of paper, personal prayer. When you hold the pipe cleaner in your hands, you can
I dropped that one, I didn't.
When you hold a pipe in your hand, you can easily move it into different shapes. Talk to God about your life, inviting him to be in charge,
yeah,
and make you be the person he wants you to be. And the other side. God wants to release resources for the church to grow in fruitfulness. Pray for his provision to fill the gaps and make us effective fishers of men. On our own we can't do much, but together in prayer and faith we can see things grow.
That's brilliant, brilliant. That's really good. So what rips the net? What breaks the net? I've told you all those things, but I'll tell you what. One thing is, well, I don't like that chorus. Well, we weren't singing it for you. We were singing it for him. Well, I don't like that person. God does. See, we can get into the I don't like business. Where some choruses are better than others for me, but I don't like them because we're singing them for him. We're here to worship him. And worship is not songs anyway. Worship is a lifestyle. Don't be the best worshipper in the world and your life is really bad. Worship is a lifestyle. It's the way we live our lives to God. How do we mend the net? I've got Lynn's got some sheets if you want them. I've got the notes. Mending the net and making the net. How do we make the net? Well, David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel 18 made a covenant. Covenant used to be a great word when I got saved. Nowadays it don't seem to be used so much, covenant. It's been I'll protect you, really. But covenant, David and Jonathan made this covenant. And I won't read it because I haven't got time, but you can read it. And it tells you how they... Jonathan said, whatever you want me to do for you, I'll do. He took off his tunic, he took off his belt, he took off his sword and gave it to him. Covenant is a really, really big thing. And we're in covenant with God. We just broke bread this morning. That's blood covenant. And I believe it's covenant. Now, mending the nets. Number one, the covenant of affirmation. Nothing you do or say will ever stop me loving you. That's number one. Get a church like that, you might be going places. Number two, covenant of availability. My time is your time. What would you like me to do? I painted a 10,000 square feet church in Halifax. Me, little old me, with 20 foot rollers like a pole. I did it. Don't ask me to do it now, I'm too old. But whatever they've asked me to do. When I first got saved in my first church, there was all these men in the church. And they all wanted to talk about Jesus all day. But the grass out the back was this tall. So what I do, I bought a motor mower and I went and mowed the back lawn. Every week I would mow the back lawn. And they want to talk about Jesus. I don't want to talk about Jesus. I love Jesus. I have fellowship with Jesus. I commune with Jesus. But I don't want to talk about him all the time unless it's to somebody in the world. Number three, the covenant of prayer. I'll pray for you. Have you heard that? And you go home and you forgot. But see, David didn't pray for his sheep. Killed a lion and a bear to stop them getting killed. See, don't say I'll pray for you. There's more to it. It might be prayer and practical. Can I do this for you? Can I do that for you? You see, oh, I'll pray for you. So pious. We've seen it before. Number four, the covenant of openness. I'll be transparent. I'll be vulnerable. Have feet of clay. WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. That's WYSIWYG. With me, that's what you get. Is that right, Lynn? WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. Kate liked it anyway. Number five, the covenant of honesty. I'll mirror back to you what I hear you say and lay it on the line. We got to sort each other out, really. I don't mean that in a mean way. But in a building up way, it says we rise by lifting other people up. See, and I am prophetic, but in the church in the book of Acts, there was two prophets. And why were they there? It tells you. Number one, they weren't there to tell you you're going to win the lottery next week. They were there for encouragement. You've got to be a great encourager. We encourage people, lift people up, and show them who they really are. That's encouragement. The covenant of sensitivity. Your hurts, your needs, your spiritual life. We can come alongside somebody. I've done this many, many times. That young man who came from, was it the Philippines? What was his name?
Ewan.
I went to Ewan. I said, look, I want to help you. I said, there's my number. There's my email address. Anything I can help you with, let me know. And I've not heard from him. But I did it. So that's what we need to do. You got to be covenant of sensitivity. You got to be mature, sensitive to your hurts, needs, spiritual life. Covenant of confidentiality. Whatever you tell me will not be on the notice board next week. That's pretty good, isn't it? Because, you know, we can all... Well, guess what? Hey, guess what? Been around a lot of churches, so I know. I'm not saying it's here. Remember I said it's not here. Covenant of accountability. Well, I'm not coming under anybody's authority. I've heard that many times. There was a lady in our church who said, I'm not going to tithe, because that's old covenant. I said, don't be silly. Tithing was before the covenant. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, right in the beginning of the Bible there. But people, I'm not accountable. We're all accountable to God. We're all accountable to God. See, I'm going to be a lone ranger, because, you know, I'll do it my way, thank you. Who sung that song? I did it my way, yeah. I'm not singing, I've got a bad voice. So we've got to be a net. The church is a net, and it needs to go fishing. But it's not fishing pole days. It's the net days, like this. That's awesome what Kate did. I mean, that's unbelievable. I didn't know she did that. But that was already on God's mind. You can understand that? That was God talking to you. No. Yeah. In every church, there are issues. You know this, because many of you have been in more churches than this. You know there are always issues. But there was a woman in the Bible who had an issue. She had an issue of blood. What did she do? She pushed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. How do you touch the hem of his garment unless you're on your knees? See, there's the key. She had an issue. She got it sorted. We all have issues, but you have to get it sorted, because we've got to love one another. And love covers over a multitude of sins. Is that fair, Mike? Good, I thought you were asleep, sorry. I read in the dictionary what it said about a net. I want to tell you, this is really, you'll like this. Let me go back. Where does it say? It says it's a thread, interlocking thread, knotted, crossed and tied. And the strength of the net is how many knots, how many crosses and how many ties in it. And I'm thinking, if we can find enough people to get knotted, crossed and tied together and not get out of the net, guess what? God can go fishing. God can use his net to go fishing. Yeah, Cam liked that one. All churches have issues. But remember what I said about dogs? Why do people love dogs? They wag their tails. They don't wag their tongues. I'm nearly finished. You're okay. I've got another 10 pages, but you're all right. In Amos 9:11, it says this. I will read that one, because I think this is really important to finish on. Amos 9:11 says this. In that day. What day? this day. God is a God of this day. In that day I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins and build it as it used to be. Now when I got saved, the big word was the tabernacle of David. Oh, everybody was preaching on the tabernacle of David. But God said in Amos 9:11, I want to restore these places. Look at this church. Look at every church in Clandidna. There's about 5 million churches. I think God used to be big in this town and every other town. But I tell you what, he's still big. And he can do whatever he wants to do. But in Amos 11, in that day, but we're all looking for revival. We're all looking for miracles. And miracles are still happening. We've got another friend in Crewe, and she's had cancer in her liver. And she works for the a thing called prayer. What's it called? It's called it's like a prayer thing. They go around all the country in Costa Coffees, and they're praying for people. And she's had cancer in her liver, but it was quite big, and it shrunk, and it's shrinking, and it's shrinking, and it's shrinking. Now, I don't know why everybody doesn't get healed. My daughter had a stillborn baby. And because I run this little boy over and he was brought back to life, I thought, I'm going to see that baby. I'm going to bring it back to life. Not me, but you know what I'm saying. I get to the hospital. It's a beautiful little girl dressed in pink and it's dead. Blue. It's going blue. I couldn't do it. But she had 4 more kids after that one. See, you just don't know, do you? But miracles are still happening. We're hearing miracles all the time. And please read Smith Wigglesworth, some of the miracles he did. I read one this morning, and he said they went to church and he was on the platform and they threw a baby up on the platform. It was dead. His baby was dead. They threw it on the platform. And he went and prayed for it. Boom. And the baby starts crying. And the baby was alive. Oh, yeah, but that was then. No, that was God. Make sense? Because we're all thinking, well, because people say to me, well, you know, that was all right for 2,000 years ago. No, same God today as it was then. Do we want to see miracles? Yes, we do. Of course we do. How are we going to go and catch fish? Got to catch some fish, some big fish. 153 big fish. Want a few millionaires. Everybody's praying for the poor. I pray for millionaires. You might laugh at that, but we went to a conference and the tickets were 50 quid each, these tickets. And Lynn and I took a couple with us and they were quite well off. We're looking for the rich people. Why? Because you can do more in the kingdom with more money. Not that we're after money. We're not preaching the prosperity gospel. We're preaching that. Do you think God wants you to be poor or wants you to be well off? What do you think? God loves us that much. He would want to see us poor, yeah? And begging bread. No, he wants us to be well off. Why? So we can bless somebody else. See, God doesn't give us a word for us, he gives it for everybody else. Like you might write a song. Oh, I'm going to copyright that song. But God gives you a song, he gives it for all of us. And if we can get a few millionaires in and get them saved, just think what the church could do. Not this church, any church. We were in a church in America where I was ordained in America, and the church had 3,000 people there on a Sunday. And he had 12 pastors on staff. Paid big money. Oh, that's America. No, it's kingdom. Still kingdom. Lynn was church accountant for one of the churches we went to. And I'm going back 30 years now, aren't I? And they were paying her $3,300 a month. When they took a special offer in, it took her a week to count the money. Really? Yeah, because England's different. I've got a friend in America, this prophet, and every month his church put a big basket out like that and fill it with money for the pastor and his wife. This is America. I know it's not England or Wales. But do you think God wants you to bless your pastor? Yeah, I think he does. And I think sometimes, you know, and some of the stuff we've done, well, I could tell you story after story, but God wants us blessed to bless somebody else. Do you think he wanted you to do that food thing, Mike, to make you rich? He gave you that vision, whatever it was, so you could help people. Yeah? There it is. That's why we do things, because we want to help people. I've said enough. I'll close in prayer. I could go on, but I won't. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. We don't just say that, we believe it, Lord, because we know that you care for us. You sent Jesus to die on that horrible cross, Lord, for us, that we might live and that we might have freedom. We want to be free. We don't want to be in rituals. We don't want to be doing the same thing every week. Why do we do what we do? Because we've always done it like that. Father, we want to be a people that say, what do you want, Lord? How do you want it, Lord? This is what we want to give you. We want to give you our time, our love, and everything else, Lord. So, Father, we just bless you. We honour you. And we do pray for Pastor Steve, Lord, as he's preaching down at the other church, Lord. I prayed for him in the prayer meeting this morning here, but, Lord, we do pray for Pastor Steve. Bless him, Lord. Bless his wife and his family, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you want any of those notes, Lynn's got a pile there.